my own stories that I love telling stories, you know, because it, when I tell them and I listen to them, I'm like, yes, I get encouraged again. Just like, God, if you got me through that, there's nothing that I can't face with you, of course. And so I don't know, what are your go-to, I don't even want to call it, but what is your go-to? When tough times hit, calamity strike, this could be a business, like it could be financially, it could be health-wise, it could be relationally, it could be, you name it. What do you do? How do you process that? How do you work your way through that? Man, that's what I want to touch on today. And I hope that you're going to walk away with one or two or maybe even three handles. Like, maybe this is what I can try. And it's always good to reflect and see, okay, cool. How did some of the legends do this? But also, how did some of the legends go through some seriously tough times? So here we are. This is going to be our scripture for this morning, the main one, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And this is 1 to 6, not the long version, if we may. So let us read together. This is our brother, our friend. This is the King David. Here he's a young man. Okay, he's a young man. He's been anointed, by the way. Everybody knows he's going to be the king. But he's not yet king. In fact, what's happening here, sorry, I said we're going to read, but let me give you the backstory. He's being hunted by King Saul. As in, hunted. King Saul wants to kill him. And he is running around with a couple of guys, well, first alone, then a couple of guys join them because they kind of see where this is heading and this is not right. And that group grows. So, you know, when you're hiding, playing hide and seek, it's easy. But when you're 40 people, it's a little more difficult. When you're 400, and at this stage, there are like 600 men, okay, all together already. But he's being hunted. King Saul is after him. Even Jonathan tries to protect him, but King's like, why are you, my son, with the son of Jesse? Why are you like with David? So Saul is not happy. He even tries to pin Jonathan with a spear to the wall. So Saul is going crazy. Longer story, he turned his back on God. He touched what he shouldn't have done. He's not in the will of God. He's not walking with God. He's doing his own thing. Okay, Saul is demonkara. He's going crazy. But David is running. And he's been in that cave. Remember when him and his men were in the cave and Saul came in to relieve himself and he cut a little bit of his garment. And as the king, you know, walked out and there was a safe distance, he says, oh, King Saul, look, my heart is pure towards you. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do anything. So he proves to Saul, hey, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. My heart is not, nor am I going to touch the anointed of the God, of the Lord. That's what he said there. And so Saul's like, oh, David, I'm so sorry. Yeah, let's go back. And 2-3 days later, they don't say how many days, but before you know it, boop, Saul is back in action. He's like, here's the David and his men is over there. And just off he sets and he goes. And again, wants to only kill him. And it's nighttime, and God puts everybody like in the scripture says, like in a deep sleep. And David and his men went down, and they took the spear of Saul and the water can that was next to his head. And they walked. And as they again were at a safe distance, they shouted, hey, you were supposed to protect the king, but you didn't protect him. And everybody's like, wake up, what just happened? And it's like, look, Saul, I don't want to kill you. I could have. I have no ill intention towards you. And again, Saul is not in a good space. He leaves. But he's got nowhere to go. He can't go to his own people, Israel, because Saul is there and wants to kill him. He's got to go to the enemy. He goes to the Philistines. And they give him a town where him and his men can be. Can you believe it? Ziklag, that is that town. That's kind of their station. And from that place, David and his men, they start raiding the enemy. Not the Philistines, but the other people. They're like, I think the Amalekites and all the Ites. And they bring things back. And that's how they survive. Okay, but they're not in their own people. They've kind of made peace with the king of Philistines. By the way, Goliath, Philistine, he killed them. So they know David, but they're keeping him. And some time goes by. So much so that the Philistines are now ready to attack Israel. And David is expected to come with, obviously, him and his men. And they're busy marching. They're going to go fight. And then one of the lords, probably one of the generals, is like, so why is David and his men coming to fight? No, I don't trust this thing. Hold on. Hofas, I don't want David. Remember, they've had peace up until now. He said, I don't trust David and his men. What if they turn on us? Like from the inside, you know? It's like an inside job. No. So they send them back. So there's David and his men going back to Ziklag. And obviously, you know, left the kids and the wives and everybody else there. And lo and behold, when they get back, now when David and his men came to Ziklag, on the third day. It took them 3 days to get back to their town. The Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the woman and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Just for a moment, think about this. Not only if he's running for his life, the king is trying to kill him. He now gets back home, the only place he can go, home. All the wives, all the kids, everybody's gone. Everything burned to the ground. Talking of tough times. I don't know, tough times never last. This seems pretty, pretty bad, but it gets even worse. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. Don't continue. You know, this is mighty men. You don't mess with David and his men. There's 600 of them. What did they do? I don't think they took this lightly. This was hectic. Can you imagine hitting wall after wall after wall of life being thrown at you? You have nothing left. I just cannot continue. I mean, like, how many calamities can you face in one life? And this has happened. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, I know there's so many of us who can tell a similar story. Like, just when I was down at my lowest, I got trampled upon. It just got worse. I hit rock bottom and lo and behold, there was more. This is crazy. I mean, these guys wept until they have no more strength left. It's just, I don't know. Do you remember maybe a time that you have cried? Maybe it was just out of desperation, out of, I have nothing more to give, but you cry and you have nothing left. Sure, that's hectic. But let us continue. David's two wives also had been taken captive. Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed. Now you've been there? Greatly distressed. I cannot even imagine. Everything is gone. For the people also spoke of stoning him. Oh my word, this is here. Hold on. You've got all of this going on. Everything is burned down, and now the men, who's your men, who's supposed to fight with you, for you, starts talking about stoning you. Now, stoning is not a game. For those who don't know, stoning is where they put you there and they pick up rocks and they don't stop throwing it at you until you're dead. Okay, so stoning is a brutal way of killing someone. The men are such a bad position and condition around him that they are now talking of stoning him. Gets to his ears. Can you imagine that happening? And how low you must be. Of course he was distressed. I mean, the poor man. Because of all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. And this is where the turnaround comes, and I love this. And if you remember nothing else of this morning, and I want to encourage myself, but I want to encourage you this morning. But everything changes with a but, huh? It's a great story until there's a but. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And this is where every calamity meets a solution. This is where my life and your life takes the turn. When these things happen, this is what this morning is about. Very briefly, it's about, but David strengthened himself in his God. So a few things that I want to just touch on there. And it's just, this again, it's not going to be long. It's not about long. It's about giving handle. So hopefully when we are here, the first thing we do is we find God. We find his presence. We have to do that. Remember, I'm talking to those who love God, who's been saved by his mercy and his grace. If you don't have him, where do you turn to? I can only imagine where you can go. It's every single sin out there. It's because that's, what else? I've got drugs and alcohol and, I mean, I want to numb the pain. I want to take it out on someone else. I want to, whatever the case is. But that's not our go-to. Our go-to is the presence of God. It's got to be proximity to him. When all hope seems lost, that's where we go. Now, unfortunately, they don't give a step-by-step guide as to how David did that. Hey, David, how he did this for himself, you know, strengthening himself in the Lord was X, Y, and Z. But we can kind of unravel it a little bit and we can see, oh, okay, hold on. Of course, he turned to God because he was strengthened in him, so you've got to be there. But if we look at Psalm 42, verse 5, we can see a little something that he did. He speaks, he's like, why are you cast down, my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise thee, my salvation. So what he does here, he preaches to himself. Because imagine you hit this spot, there's no one around you, even those that are supposed to pour you is against you. So where do you go? Where do I go? Yes, we go to God first and foremost, but you look yourself squarely in the mirror and you've got to start preaching to your soul, man. In remembering who he is, what he has done. Who's our God? Does he just fall over and break? Can he be burned down? No ways. So you've got to preach. We have got to preach ourselves. We don't need to wait for others to remind us. And again, there's many other ways we can come alongside a brother and a sister and help and so forth. But I'm saying when you don't have that, and maybe you feel you don't have that, we have to preach ourselves. Another Psalm, 103 verses 1 to 5, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's preaching to himself. He's like, come on, man. You can't be down in the dumps. You've got every reason to be down in the dumps. But I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to encourage me. I'm going to strengthen myself in God, and I'm going to strengthen myself in his word. I'm going to preach to myself. Lamentations 3:21, it says, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So he's like, I'm going to dig. I'm going to dig for things that I can remember and I can encourage myself with. We have to find it. So that's just point one. Point one is declare the truth over your emotions and over your soul. The truth, not what I feel like. I think, no. Lord, boom, this is the truth. And I can preach that. The second one is, and let's read Romans 15 verse 4. It says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. So what this is guiding us to, the second handle is to meditate on the promise, not the problems. Because you know what the worst thing is, man? Because you have every reason to feel utterly defeated. And then you can think of a whole lot more. But that's not how we work it. We meditate on the promise. What did God say? What does his word say? How do we encourage one another? Could be with testimonies. Could be with a whole range of things. But what is more powerful than the word? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will accomplish what it says forth. Huh? Come on, we've got to meditate on that. He says, I meditate on the word day and night in the Psalms. That is part of how we have to strengthen. That is how we tackle it. We meditate on it. We open the word and we feed on hope. That's what we have to do. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. That's the kind of promise we say to ourselves in that mirror and we encourage ourselves with. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. That's what I'll be. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Meaning he's close to me right now. I'm brokenhearted. I feel like I just can't. Point four. And this is something that might be, I wouldn't even say controversial, maybe less understood. But in Jude 1:20 we read, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's something about praying in the Spirit. Because there's many gifts given. And when you look at those gifts, it is almost exclusively for others. It's to encourage and build one another up in those things. But this one is where we can strengthen the inner man. Isn't that insane? There's one thing, and that's what Paul is like, but I pray more in the Spirit than all of you put together. Maybe he didn't say that, but all of you. But look at his life. Like he had more trouble than all of them put together. You know what I mean? The stuff that he went through is like, oh my word. Beat him with sticks 5 times. I mean, stoned. He was stoned, what, twice? A shipwreck. The list goes on and on and on. It's no wonder he was praying. Why? He needed to strengthen himself. Now again, it's in God, but this is one of those tools. It's one of those gifts we've been given. Because when you don't know what to pray, when I don't know what to pray, we can pray in the Spirit. And we can be strengthened by the Spirit. He knows what to pray for. So let us not forget about this one. Maybe you've tried the others and you felt like, yo, man, I'm still not there. How's about praying in the Spirit a little bit? Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us. When? In our weakness. How lucky is that? In our weakness, He helps us. Yo, and so many has hit rock bottom, eh? Paul, Job, Elijah, the whole shebang. So many. But let us surrender in prayer. And let's be real. I don't know about you, but that's the last thing I feel like. I feel like I just want to extract myself from public life and I want to go into a little hole somewhere. I want to go into the cave until I'm better. Until I come out again, you know, like a shining star. It's like, yes, today's amazing. This guy's just, no. But, you know, that's what I want. I want that. I don't want to sickle and struggle and let everybody see the misery. And. But that's also, that's not part of it. And finally, this is one thing we have to remember. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, He will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and there shall be no more. Neither shall be there mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. All of this is temporary. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. Guys, it's like this. It's real now, and it's hectic now. Sometimes. Often. But it's not going to last. It's not for forever. There's a day and a time appointed where He's going to come back. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, but also every tear will be wiped away. How amazing is that? This is one of those things I want to encourage myself. And it's like, this too shall pass. Even if I die in this, Lord, it's all going to be wiped away. I'm going to get a new body, finally. And maybe you're excited about that too. You know, this thing is going to last forever. It's incredible. But this is temporary. We are not here forever. This place is not our home. I love the smiles because it's so true. We can look past all of this and through all of this and we can see the hope. We can see what's been planned, what's being prepared for us. And He's not a liar. He's not a man. He said, I go to prepare in my Father's house. There's many rooms and I'm preparing it for you and I'll be back. I almost did that in a Schwarzenegger. But I'll spare you. So guys, I mean, life's lows are real. It is real. But you know what? So is God's presence. And so is His promises. Yo. And we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. You know, like a David, he turned to God. The psalmist speaks truth to his soul. Paul meditates on the word. Jude, pray in the spirit. John says, lift your eyes to heaven. But here's the clincher. We can only do this if we know God. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord if He's not your God? How do you draw from a well that you've never drunk from before? You can't rest in His promises if you don't belong to Him. Sadly. And maybe that is why it seems like there is no option, there's no solution. That's why people get to a state of mind that is just unbelievable. Comes after us. Thank you. Check. Yeah. Especially, man, all of these things are for those that belong to Him. And here's the thing, you don't have to carry it. If you don't know God, if he's not your Lord, your Savior, your friend, the one that you follow, the one who protects you, if he's not the strong tower that you can run into and be protected, then you're vulnerable to all of these things. Who knows what will happen and what can happen? Even now, just in the next few years, in the next while. And what happens if you die? What's after that? I know. We know. I believe most of us. And this is not a... What I'm saying is we have been on a course of death and destruction with no hope. But, remember the but God. And this morning could be that for you. And so I don't know. I don't know where everybody in this building is. And maybe you have gone through hell and maybe, sure. Maybe you've tried everything under the sun and maybe these are some handles you think, oh my goodness. Well, there's a door that opens all of this. And the door is actually the one in your heart because he says, I knock. I knock at your door, the door of your heart. If you open, I will come and I will come in and I will dine with you. And I will make you over anew. So this is the invitation of this morning from Jesus to say, if you open your heart and you receive me as the one who is God, who came to earth, who died for your sin, if you receive me, like Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Meaning you put your trust and your reliance in him of what he's done, meaning he can wipe away your sin when you come and repent. Not do good works to get rid of it, but you come to Jesus. He's the door. He's the one who opens this life. He's the one who's preparing the room. And the invitation is open for you to come, open your heart and say, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. In myself, I have no hope. But I actually want to turn to you this morning. I want to give all of this junk to you, that you will wash it away, and I want to put my trust and my faith in you, and I want to start my journey this morning. And when calamity strikes, I know where I can go. I can be strengthened in you. I can now, all of a sudden, all these promises, it's yours. How incredible is that? So is there anybody? Maybe just close our eyes just for a moment. I just want to give the Holy Spirit just a moment. Because he's been knocking on your door. If your heart, maybe your heart is racing, maybe it's not. Maybe you know you've tried long enough, hard enough, and it still fails. You're still miserable. There's no peace. Do you want to just put your hand up and say, hey, this morning, I hear you. And I want to willingly receive this free gift that's being held out to me. A gift of salvation. Jesus himself reaching out and say, here it is, my life for yours. You can be in right standing with God, the Father. The very sin, the wall of sin that's kept you from him, I came to break it down. So you may have access. You may have a Father who loves you, who cares for you. Is there anybody? Just slip up your hand. And that's cool. If there's nobody, that's awesome. Let's invite some people who don't know him. You can open your eyes. Thank you. We just wanted to give someone that opportunity. So, when life happens, when there's guaranteed stuff, when the pawpaw hits the fan, hopefully you have a few things that you can encourage yourself with in the Lord. His word, his promises, spirit, praying in it, and. And maybe this also a way that you can, if you're in someone else's life who's going through a tough time, sometimes, most of the times, we are not the hero. We are not the one who saves. But now we can point. Say, hey, bud, come on, man, find his presence. And if need be, come, I'm going to help you. Let's worship together or something. You know what I mean? And that's how we're victorious. These are the testimonies, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimonies. That is how we overcome. That is how we keep on this journey. And we are a family, and I'm so stoked to be part of it. And we have a God that looks after us and looks over us and who cares for us. So with that, I want to end off and say have a blessed Sunday, but maybe more or less anything else.
Just as Rian was preaching, Paulo, can you come share that word you felt in worship? I really think what you brought is actually ties into what Rian shared, because this morning I really feel that the Lord wants to pour out His Spirit on those who might feel broken this morning, on those who need a fresh touch. Will you just share that?
Yes. So, good morning. So what I had shared with Mornay in worship was Acts 2, and particularly from Acts 2 verse 1. So this is when the Holy Spirit came down to Pentecost. So reading from verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And basically imagine this. 200 people, or many people, just seeing, just having the Holy Spirit come upon them. And they all start speaking in a variety of tongues, like the tongues in which Rihanna was speaking about earlier. And people witness this, and they hear those tongues in their language. They hear these tongues, and I was like, okay, what's going on? There's something different about them. To the point where Peter has to stand up and say, guys, it's only 9 in the morning. They are not drunk. Like, this is just the Holy Spirit. And what I caught from that as, may we be like those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, that when people look at us, they're like, no, there's something different about that person. There's something different about Leo. There's something different about CJ. That they may just see that. And it doesn't come from might. It doesn't come by power, but it comes by His Spirit. And that's just an encouragement for all of you.